What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Kyle Shanahan in year number 9, and there is second-year head coach Mike McDonald. 10-win team a year ago and 14-win team here in 2025-26, and they will get the bye with the number one seed.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There's a lot of teams going into the Shanahan tree and the outside zone stuff.
Shut up!
On 95.7 The Game.
That's John Feliciano. He's joining us in about 40 minutes here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy, though. I'm in for Willard, who will be back tomorrow. The highlight you heard, though, that was Joe Buck on ESPN calling the final seconds of the Seahawks 13-3 win.
More like a low light. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get to call much action in that football game.
No, a couple missed field goals, a doink, and other than that, a lot of punts.
13-3 was the final. The Seahawks used that to claim the NFC West and the one seed in the NFC. Niners relegated to the sixth seed in the NFC. They have since, of course, beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia on Sunday. They're now on to the divisional round where they will take on the Seahawks on Saturday. And that's why we're talking Niners and Seahawks and Dibs. I feel like people around my age, I'll be 30 this year. Big year for me, turning 30.
Ooh.
Don't want to turn 30, but big year for me.
Well,
I wasn't around, or definitely wasn't old enough to remember a lot of the classic Niners Cowboys matchups. And until recently, Dibs, the Niners hadn't played the Cowboys in the playoffs since like that era of Niners and Cowboys when they were the two dominant teams in the NFC. So growing up, for the most of my life growing up, the Niners were pretty bad. At least once I got old enough to remember and actively watch, like post Steve Young, there was some playoff appearances with Jeff Garcia. But then beyond that, before Alex Smith had the first good year of his career, the Niners were really, really bad. You just named some of the other coaches that have led this team post Steve Mariucci. It was largely bad. And I never really felt like the Niners had a classic rivalry that I can remember like taking part of and being a part of that I had a gigantic emotional response
Interesting.
To. And then Harbaugh and Pete Carroll brought the Niners and the Seahawks to the forefront in the NFC West. And so for me, I have always, or ever since that era, I've always felt like the Seahawks were more the Niners' rival than the Cowboys. And that's just, I think, my perspective as someone that was not around when those Niners-Cowboys games were the must-see games all year in the NFL. But these last couple of matchups, Niners-Seahawks, specifically if this postseason one is a competitive one, I think it's going to go a long way to maybe bringing back a little bit of that rivalry that I remember so fondly back in those Harbaugh and Pete Carroll days.
Yeah, and I think it's mostly back anyway because Seattle's good and the Niners are good, and they both, I think, are trending toward still being good, young coaches and talented teams and the rest. And I was just looking at some of the years of those Seattle and Niner games, and that's kind of peak Grandy as a kid because you're born in 96.
Yeah, so 14, 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, 11, 12, 13, all those years where Harbaugh was there and they were good and they were competitive with Seattle and all the rest of it. But for me, it is Dallas because I was at that same age in 81.
Yep.
I was at actually the first game that year, the first Niner game I ever went to because we did not have a lot of means in my house, four kids and two working parents, and they used to have a thing called the Berkeley Farms Junior 49er Minor Club, where you show up to this club meeting during the week, and it was kind of propaganda from the Niners, but they gave you free tickets. So my dad and I got two free tickets, and the seats, though, I don't know if you remember Candlestick or if you even ever went to Candlestick, but the seats that they would give us for free were partially obstructed in the south end zone.
Classic.
Because you know where those bleachers come out where the old right field was?
Yep.
These seats were kind of blocked for half the field behind those bleachers. Yeah. But I was there. Niners beat the Cowboys 45-14.
That's
they
awesome.
Would go on to beat them in the NFC Championship. But I was kind of in the same age that you were with the Seattle thing. So for me, it'll always be Dallas, but the Rams, they've had some classics. Seattle, for sure. Green Bay.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Which again was probably a little bit before your time with some of those classic games, but the Seattle one definitely gets the blood pumping.
You know, the Harbaugh Pete Carroll part of it, of course, was big because of their Stanford and USC ties as well. But yeah, that's the first time I really felt like real pride in an NFL rivalry for the Niners specifically. And I bring that up because, of course, that's the matchup on Saturday, Niners and Seahawks, winner goes to the NFC Championship game. But there is a little bit of trash talk that is percolating, specifically out of Seattle. I will first bring up, Dibs, what has happened on Fred Warner's Instagram. I say what happened like it's a gigantic deal. It's not that bad, but there is some trash talk going on here. Fred yesterday posted an Instagram post with a bunch of pictures, himself, his son, his wife, and his newborn kid as well. There's an AI-generated image of Brock Purdy doing the Dougie, I believe, on some like plastic Seahawk-colored chickens.
Wow.
And he's also wearing those black jerseys that they wore in Week 18. We should probably never wear those jerseys again. But there's a lot on here. There's a picture of him with Kittle. Fred with Kittle, and then some work that he's been doing on the practice field as well to maybe signal, you know, I'm close to coming back. He didn't have any caption on this post, just put up all the images and a couple of short videos. But Uchenna Nwosu, Dibs, a Seahawks linebacker, commented on the post and said, "The road ends here, brother. The road ends here." I mean, it's harmless. It's not that big of a deal.
It's early week trash talk.
But you know, it's coming out from Seattle a little bit. Uchenna Nwosu, the road ends here. You ain't coming back is what that translates as. Fred, you ain't playing the rest of the season because we're ending your season on Saturday.
It's possible, and the road will end for one team. And by the end of the weekend, four teams will have their road end. Only one road will end there. Niners have won four consecutive in Seattle, so...
I don't think Brock's ever lost in Seattle.
That sounds about right, including, this year it was Brock in the, it was the opener, right? And Brock made it through that game.
Yes.
That's when he hurt the toe, though, right?
Yes, and at some point in that game.
They beat Seattle 17-13, and last year they beat him 36-24, and before that 31-13, and before that 21-13, so they put it on Seattle. This feels like a different Seahawk team, and you know, even that week one win was... one that you kind of pulled out of the fire. It counts, and you needed it to be where you are today. But, yeah, you've four straight trips. You've gone up there and got the dub.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Fred Warner, I think maybe what this is about, again, Uchenna Nwosu commenting on Fred Warner's post saying, quote, "The road ends here, brother." Fred Warner was on the Ryan Russillo show and was asked about potentially returning for the playoffs. I believe this was... recorded before the Eagles game, but this is Fred Warner talking about his potential return, and here's what Fred had to say.
"I'm ready whenever they're ready. You know what I'm saying? There's some T's that got to be crossed, I's that got to be dotted. Unfortunately, if it were just up to me, I'd be out there this weekend. But it's unfortunately not that way, right? I got to make sure that I'm checking all the boxes, and everybody has to give me the okay before they let me go out there. But I'm pushing, man. I'm training hard. I'm back doing full football drills and everything. So time will tell, man. We got to pull the win off first."
Again, that was Fred talking about before the Eagles game. He said
it was before the Eagles game.
Up to him, he would have played in that Eagles game.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he did not. Niners got the win. But that seems to give you a little bit more confidence about this weekend, potentially.
Yeah.
And the news that we can share with you is that Kyle Shanahan and the Niners have opened Fred Warner's practice window. Here's Shanahan from today.
We're activated. We're opening his window so he can do some stuff like that. But again, we're not doing much. So he'll walk through out there with us today and things like that. But hoping he can be ready for next week."
Okay, so maybe a little bit of good news, bad news. His window is open, which means the Niners have 21 days to activate him. Their season might be over in a handful of days, so that might not really matter if they lose this game, of course. But there's no rule that says you can't open the window and then a couple of days later activate him. But he's tampering expectations, and he's saying we're hopeful for the NFC Championship game. If we get there, there is, of course, one big obstacle standing in their way, and that's the Seahawks.
Yeah, and the other obstacle is the Saturday game and the idea that you're probably not going to do that much this week. You're coming off a Sunday game, and it's a short week because you play on Saturday, so your schedule is a little bit more condensed. And Kyle even said today that, you know, for example, today, normally I think it's a 7-hour day where you go through a lot of different things and you practice. But today, I think it's going to be 3 or 3.5 hours, and guys coming in, and it's a walkthrough and stuff, and it's the game plan. So I don't know how much actual hard football activity there's going to be for him to show how ready he is. But Shanahan also mentioned that the doctors have to see him do these things, and if he can do it on the side, and you know he's working hard, so there's a chance, right?
Yeah, here's more of what Shanahan said. He says he's listening to the doctors when it comes to Fred.
I'm approached by what doctors tell me. I mean, I'm like Fred. If he feels good and tells me he's good, I'm probably going to think he's good and trust him to get out there. But you can't always think with your heart and emotionally, you know. And so you ask doctors where he's at, all the things that these guys have to pass, just protocols that we have in with just sprinting and jumping and things like that. And he's got to hit all those before we feel it's safe.
And then one more from Shanahan asked if Fred pushed for the team to open his practice window, which has been open today. Here's more Shanahan.
No, that's not Fred's style totally. He does that by showing how hard he's working on the side and knows that we're watching. So he knows he doesn't have to do that to me. As soon as he's ready, obviously it'll be zero decision on my part.
And he says he's ready. Shanahan says, well, I'm going to trust Fred, but he's also going to listen to the doctors. It's interesting because, again, before the Eagles game, Fred said, if it's up to me, I'd be good to go now, and we'll see about next week. First, we got to get there. Well, they've gotten there, and now we'll see what happens over the next handful of days. Again, the Niners play Saturday. You mentioned it's a short week. Everything is moved up. The team isn't going to be doing all that much in terms of, like, physicality this week in practice because they have the short week. They want to save their bodies and recover as much as possible, which means Fred isn't going to have a real opportunity to like get into contact again before a game that he plays in if it were to happen this week. I would be surprised, Dibs, if he were to play on Saturday. There's no doubt, though, that it's going to be difficult for the team looking at what they're going up against to go into that game without Fred Warner if there's even a 10% chance that he could play and be somewhat effective.
I would be shocked, and this is from Matt Maiocco. I'm reading it off of ESPN, but it says the hope is if the Niners advance, then he would be ready for the NFC Championship game. The other part of it is if Fred is a maybe and you go ahead and you put him on the active roster, you take somebody out, that somebody you take out might be somebody you need on special teams. Mm. And, you know, Luke Gifford is questionable. He's your number one special teamer. He's actually going to the Pro Bowl. And so the more you look at the totality of your roster, especially special teams that were not great against Philadelphia, put aside the kicking part of it, into the wind. Thomas Morstead had a couple of wet newspapers that he tried to kick into that 25-mile-an-hour wind, but the coverage wasn't great. The return game wasn't great. And so you need to have even your special teams at its best. And if Fred Warner's a maybe, then I don't know if you can give up a roster spot.
That's fair.
It just depends on how, and we always play the percentage game. If he's 80%, he goes.
Well, what did Trent say? Trent said he was like 75 or 80%, I think is what he said.
Right.
Going into that game in Philly.
He plays.
He played.
Yeah, he plays. I mean, and Trent, even if he's 50%, he plays. He's maybe the best left tackle ever. I think so. Yeah, because if you're Trent, and you know he's never had the injury before, but he's played through a bad ankle for half a year, and he is, I mean, he's everything on your offensive line, I believe. And you know, you give him a shot, and if he can't go, Austin Pleasance, sure. But if you don't activate Trent, you start Austin Pleasance, and who's your backup swing tackle? I mean, it doesn't even really, at that point, it doesn't really matter. So with Trent, I do think it's a little bit different.
Interesting.
And he was listed today as, you know, I guess hamstring/vet day.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything today, but like the estimated practice report would have been that he did not do anything. And Shanahan gave two reasons, as you're right, the hamstring and he said hamstring/vet day. Last week, it was just hamstring. It was not vet day. So at least that's, I guess, a step in the right direction. Plus, he played and seemed to get out with without, you know, hurting it even further. I would be equally maybe shocked if he doesn't play this week. Like, he's going to play. Fred, I would be pretty surprised if he was going to play. But
I'd be equally surprised if Ricky Pearsall did play.
Oh, you don't think Ricky's playing?
I don't
he was
think
limited
so.
Today.
Limited in a walkthrough. So, and I'm imagining what that's like. Like, you know, you start, don't walk. Well, Ricky, we don't want you to walk through
now. Okay, for walkthroughs or for days where they don't actually do all that much, sometimes it's like an estimated practice report. Is that
correct.
What today was?
Yep, officially estimated as limited.
So that means if they were to do a full practice, he would be limited. Not he was limited on the limited practice they did.
I'm just picturing him limited in a walkthrough and they have him in an office chair and they're like wheeling him on routes. Like somebody's just pushing him so he doesn't have to walk.
You can't jog, Ricky.
Right.
You're gonna power walk.
Yeah, you're limited. So, you know, we don't even want you to walk. Here, have some crutches. You can crutch through the walkthrough. It's a crutch through. I don't know. This is all gambling. They have to put out a report.
An estimated report.
Right. And then tomorrow you'll get a better idea. And then by Thursday we'll get the official, right? With a Saturday game.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see where it all goes from here. But I would agree on Fred. I agree on Trent. I don't know about Ricky. I know that for the similar reason that you're talking about with Fred, that roster spot could be valuable when it comes to special teams, and I know you feel a similar way about Ricky Pearsall, but in my mind, the benefit that he would bring if he's just out there offensively as one of your only receivers, maybe your only receiver that you think can beat a good DB just purely based on route running, that doesn't need to rely on great scheme to get open, against this defense, I think you need all the help you can get. If Ricky's close, I'm activating him and I'm playing him and I'm saying to hell with that last roster spot. We'll figure things out on the back end.
And he was able to, against Chicago, gut it out December 28th, and he had 5 catches for 85. He played 80% of the snaps, which is about his norm. He was at 78% all year, so he went out there and played, gave it a go again, and got re-injured and sat Seattle and sat Philly. So, yeah, the PCL is such a thing where the instability probably is still there, but I'm with you. If he can go out there and give you 80% of the snaps, he is a real threat in the pass game.
Absolutely. But there is some trash talk that's coming in from Seattle. Again, on Fred Warner's Instagram post, Uchenna Nwosu, a linebacker, commented, the road ends here, brother. And then Jaron Reed in Seattle at availability today. He's a Seahawks defensive tackle. Had this to say about the rivalry with the Niners.
For one, we get a team that we don't like, me personally, don't like nothing about them. But, you know, just get a chance to, you know, go at them again. We don't do too much talking. You know, we let our past talk, but we know what's at stake. They know what's at stake. You know, it's about getting out of there between them lines and, you know, hitting the head on. Man on man, mano a mano.
I don't like anything about the Niners.
Who's that?
That is Jaron Reed, defensive tackle.
I like his style.
I like it, too. It is funny that he says, I don't like anything about the Niners, and then he says, we don't talk that much.
No.
You're just talking right now, buddy.
Something about his drawl. We let our pads do the talking.
Hey, let's play it one more time. Here, Jaron Reed, Seahawks defensive tackle.
For one, we get a team that we don't like. Me personally, don't like nothing about them. But, you know, just get a chance to, you know, go at him again. We don't do too much talking. You know, we let our pads talk. But we know what's at stake. They know what's at stake. You know, it's about getting out of there between them lines and, you know, hitting the head on. Man on man, mano a mano.
I like this is what sports is missing nowadays, Dibs. It is like, and that's not bad. That's not like a guy saying, I hate all those players over there. But he said, I don't like nothing about them. I don't like anything about those Niners. That kind of stuff fires me up, and it makes me more excited for this Saturday.
No doubt, and I was trying to catch the drawl. I thought I was here in New Orleans, but he went to East Mississippi and Alabama from North Carolina, so he got a little bit of that drawl.
North Carolina, yeah.
We let our pads do the talking.
East Mississippi, do you go to East Mississippi Community College?
The East Mississippi Community College, yeah.
That was one of the colleges featured on Last Chance U. A number of years ago.
Okay.
I wonder if he was...
This was 2012, 2013, so he might have
probably before
preceded
the, before the Netflix series. But
I'm not mad at the trash talk, and you know, as long as it's not super personal. And one thing to keep your eye on is Juwan Jennings' personal fouls for and against. Because that's a metric. Because this past game, he drew a personal. he drew hands to the face. He got you 20 yards.
Yeah.
That should go on your stat sheet as a player. Like, he got them an additional 20, although the 15 was only half the distance on the PAT.
Yeah, true.
So not a true 15, but Juwan's going to giveth and he'll taketh away as well.
It's like Brandon Pajemski block or charge.
Right.
Is it a foul on you or a foul on the opponent? It's a bang bang call.
It is. And he, you know, Juwan's got a little bit of the Draymond in him where, you know, he's out there trying to get under people's skin. So yeah, there's no love lost, especially when you get to this spot. Each team knows what's at stake, and he said that. And if you're Seattle, you're thinking, we're the one seed. We're coming off the bye. This is our conference to win.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan also was asked about some of this trash talk, if you want to call it that, today at his availability here. Shanahan on the trash that's been talked by the Seahawks heading into this game.
Yeah, I think that's all like wrestling, I guess. Just fake entertainment. And if it distracts someone or gets them out of preparation or something, or they lose their emotions during the game and they make things personal or something, then of course. But I think everyone's just having fun.
That's what it sounds like to me, too.
Yeah.
And that's I like it, though. I want more of it.
I want
everyone to get the juices flowing.
A little bit like the wrestling, though. He's right. Like, you know, it's just talk, and then you get out there, and like Jaron said, when you get between them lines, that's when everything gets settled.
But
playing off of the Philly game, the one thing that they did against Philly, they absolutely have to do again, which is play clean. Brock with the two picks, fine. You had one penalty. You had none of the parking tickets that I talk about, which is delay a game, illegal formation, false start, illegal motion, all the pre-snap BS that, you know, costs you five, and then the crowd noise gets into it. Now you're behind the sticks. You've got to play a clean game if you're the Niners, and that means none of these, you know, unnecessary hands to the face on defense, penalties, or lining up in the neutral zone. You got to be clean and give yourself a chance to win.
Yeah, they weren't terrible penalty-wise against the Seahawks in Week 18. Only three penalties for 31 yards. That's not bad either. But you're right. You're a game in which you are more than a touchdown underdog on the road in Seattle against the one seed. You're going to have to play really, really clean football. There's no doubt about it. But we got to hit a break here in a little more than a minute. If you want to join the conversation, though, about these Seahawks, 888-957-9570, because still, Dibs, I feel the most emotions from my Niner fandom about these Seahawks. I don't think it's really all that close. I know the Niners have played the Cowboys in the postseason twice in the Shanahan era, and once was, what, 2 years ago, and then before that, it might have been 2 years prior to that when they beat the Cowboys in Dallas. Then they beat the Packers in Green Bay. Then they fell to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. But still, the team that I hate the most are the Seattle Seahawks. And 888-957-9570, which team do you hate the most, Niner fans? Because it's clearly Seattle for me. I don't like the Cowboys. I don't like the Rams. I don't like a lot of teams. But the level of hatred I feel for the Seahawks is shared by no other opponent in my mind.
And that's generational, and I love it. For me, it will always go back to Dallas and, you know, the years where Aikman won the whole thing and they kept getting the Niners in the NFC Championship game, and you just couldn't get past that team. And the Niners got one more. Young got the monkey off his back. And since then, your whole life, Grandy, the Niners have not been able to get it done. Your whole life.
They last won the Super Bowl, the 94 season, the 95 Super Bowl, and I was born a year and a half later.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't even claim bun in the oven status.
No, I can't.
Like, you were not even a thought.
Maybe I am, like, the bad luck charm here. Maybe I'm the reason.
Go ahead and cut that. I think we found the answer. I'm sorry, Lucas. I didn't mean to wake you.
I'm the reason the Niners haven't won a Super Bowl since 1995. Yeah. I just need one, boy. Dibs. That is all I need. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We've got John Feliciano, former Niner offensive lineman. He's coming up in about 18 minutes here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. Plus, I know you did a deep dive, Dibs, about Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
And what he's done in the postseason to this point in his career. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're not going to want to miss what Dibs has unearthed about Brock Purdy's first handful of years in the NFL. We'll do that coming up next. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. More after this. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.